Amen, Brother Bagman. I love you, my friends. Amen. You listen to him, and God will help you through the message, brother. You mind the Lord.
Thank you, preacher. Luke chapter 15 in the Word of God, if you will go there, please. Luke chapter 15. And I would like to read near the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 25. Luke 15, 25. I'm going to read down through verse number 32, the Lord willing. You'll be aware of the fact that this chapter primarily is known as the chapter that tells us the story of the prodigal son. These verses really do not deal with him particularly, but with his brother. You'll notice as we read Luke 15, 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, the older boy did. And he called one of his servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he, the servant, said unto him, the elder boy, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Verse 28 tells us that he, the older boy, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated, it's the word for encouraged him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, much less a fatted calf," in other words, even a kid, a baby goat, "that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Now daddy's going to speak in verse 31. "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word. For a little while tonight, I want us to look at this older son, this, as it's called here, elder son. I don't imagine there's a preacher. Moderator had the preacher stand a minute ago. Probably not a preacher in the house that has not preached about him at one time or another. I've preached on him for years, though it's been a while since I've dealt with this boy. And I remember when I last preached on him, I remember what I entitled the message. Never will forget it. I preached on this subject, a bad attitude, and how to get rid of it. Because you got to agree with me, this boy, this older boy, at least at times, I'll need an amen here, had a bad attitude. But I was reading these verses the other day, and I declare, the Holy Spirit gave me a whole new view of this older brother. Now I know we can't change what the Bible said, and don't want to change what the Bible said. But here's what I'm going to suggest to you tonight, and I just want to see how you respond. That older brother, he wasn't all bad. Well, that wasn't the best amen I've ever heard, neither. What do you mean he wasn't all bad? He got mad, didn't he? What do you mean he wasn't all bad? He pouted and he would not go into the Father's house, didn't he? All that's true. But I want to try to show you tonight there's some good points. There's some good points even about that older brother that we very often overlook. Here's where I'm trying to head tonight. There are probably some good points about that church member you don't like real well too. And that preacher who's fallen into, you know, not as popular as he used to be, he ain't all bad neither, bless your heart. There's some good in every believer you know if you'll just look for it for a while. Y'all all right? That's where we're going to try to go with these verses. Verse number 25, notice it with me. Now the elder son was in the field. That's all it says right off the first. He was in the field. Well, let me draw this observation. Where's the younger boy? Well, he's been out in the hog pen. He did come back home that morning, but I'll tell you where he is. He's sitting over yonder in the house. You're going to have to nod that it's true. Having a party. And while the party's going on, where is the older brother? I'm going to need an amen. He's still out yonder in the field, which at least implies he's still a working. Amen. Well, that gets my attention right off right there. I believe I'd just soon, if I got to make a choice, I believe I'd just soon hang around with the fella that believes in work than I have the crowd that's a partying all the time. He's in the field, and he's out there in the field. They've been plying all day out there in the field. Something else, still in the same verse, said he was in the field, and as he came nigh, as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, first, the boy's in the field. Second, get the pronoun there. When they came nigh to the house. Preacher, you know as well as I do. When you work out in the field, there's usually a bunch of farm hands out there. Some of them's been plowing. Some of them might have been sowing. There's a crowd of workers. But my text tells me when this boy knocks off and comes in from the field, it says when he came to the house. When he, that is a singular pronoun. I'd like to make an announcement. He's not only out there in the field. I'd use an amen here if I can get one. He's out there in the field working all by himself. It's one thing to get some folks to go to work if they got a crowd working with them. You can have a pretty good work day if so many of them are going to show up. But it's another thing to get somebody who'll go out there and work alone all by themselves and stay there till the sun goes down or all the work gets done. It's getting real popular now to go to the big churches. Everybody wants to be part of the masses when they worship God. The only problem with that, it sort of messes up the little churches somehow. We need some folks who'll go where God told them to go. If there's a crowd of people there, or if there ain't but a handful of people there. The older brother was willing to work all by himself. Are y'all with me so far? I think I'll just go on record right now. That's already some things I like about that boy. Hallelujah. So, he's in the field. He comes nigh to the house, and he hears music and dance. Oh, one more thing. Help me figure out, if you will. I don't know if we can, but I think we can come pretty close. Help me figure out what time it is
that he knocks off work and comes into the house. Brother Bagwell, there ain't no way of telling. There are no time markers in the text. I think we can tell. He didn't come to the house in the morning, because by the morning, the prodigal himself's just getting back in. We got to allow enough time for the ring to be put on the prodigal's finger, the robe on his back, and the shoes on his feet, and that at least took a while. I don't think he come in the afternoon. Why not, Brother Bagwell? Because as soon as they got the prodigal dressed, they had to kill that fatted calf. And it takes a while. I don't know if you'll amen this or not. Once you kill it, it takes a while to barbecue that rascal. And they're done eating and partying time. Let me answer the question. He not only was a working in the field, and he not only stayed after everybody else and knocked off. I just want to tell you, he didn't come in. I'll need an amen. He didn't come in till mighty late. Amen. Thank God for somebody who stay on the job, whether it's daytime, nighttime, whether they're tired to the bone. Hallelujah. He stayed till it's all done. Praise God. He's a growing on me. I'm liking him more and more every verse I'm uncovering here. The prodigal son's older brother, he ain't all bad. Let's look a little further into the text. Verse 26 says, he called one of the servants, means a boy, servant, male employee, a slave, and he asked what these things meant. And I just want you to notice the boy answers it. Look at verse 27. He said, "Why, your brothers come, and your fathers killed the fatty calf." Now follow me here. I guess, preacher, this is inferred rather than stated. You can always tell what kind of person you're dealing with by watching how those who are closest to him respond to him and talk to him and do or do not respect him. Well, I didn't work that very well. Let me back up and try it again. People can spot a hypocrite 10 miles away. The elder brother, he's second in command in that household now. And he asked one of the slaves, "What in the world's going on?" You preachers notice it. And that slave answered him with respect and with dignity. He said, "Sir, I'll tell you what's going on. Your brother's back in town and they're having a party." I don't know what to think about the older brother. You might not know what to think about him, but this servant boy here, he knew, I hope I get an amen, he knew that older brother was for real. There's some substance there. I don't know if you're getting that point or not yet. Here's something I do, and I've done it for years. Anytime I was at a camp meeting where they had multiple preachers, they put a man of God in the pulpit, and if I know him, they'll put a man of God in the pulpit. I tell you what Brother Bagwell does, and you probably don't want to do this, but I'll do it the next time I put one in the pulpit. I look around till I find his wife in the congregation. And as soon as I find his wife, I watch her watch him preach. Why would you do that? If there's anybody on earth that knows that preacher and the life he lives, and whether he's genuine or not, I think I'm killing the service. It's going downhill in a hurry here. If there's anybody that knows him, it is his wife. Preacher, I've seen wives sit back there and do crossword puzzles while the preachers was preaching. I saw one day balance the checkbook. I'd like to make an announcement. That ain't a good sign right there. But glory to God, I've seen many a preacher's wife sit on the edge of her seat, take notes while her husband and pastor was preaching, drinking the Word of God, and every now and then, y'all better say amen here, every now and then mouthing amen from her lips. Glory to God, that is a pretty good sign.
Amen, preacher.
The people around this older brother treated him with respect and dignity. He's a boy of character, bless your heart. I don't know if I ought to ask this or not. What did they think about you down at your church? Next verse, which will be verse 27. You get in trouble, you just go the next verse. That's all you do. Verse 27. Here's what the slave boy said to the older brother. He said unto him, "Well, your brother's come." He didn't even know it. "Your brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound." And that verb "received" means to welcome gladly. I mean, daddy is really, might even be overkill here. Daddy is wild with excitement. Safe and sound. The boy's well. The boy's all right. And I'm not preaching against the prodigal son tonight. I'm preaching for his older brother. Please get that down if you will. Now, he just found out they killed the fatted calf. I got a question I want to ask you. Think it through with me, please. Whose fatted calf did they kill? Whose fatted calf? They killed the fatted calf. Whose fatted calf did they kill? Well, there are only three possible answers. You say it's the prodigal's fatted calf. No, it ain't. He got his inheritance when he left the house. He done squandered every penny he owns. I guess you could argue they killed daddy's fatted calf. But that ain't so neither. Daddy, you read it with me. Daddy just said to that older boy, "All I have is yours." Y'all know whose fatted calf they just killed? They just killed the older brother's fatted calf. And they didn't even ask him if they could kill his fatted calf. He's been out in the field working. And I don't know if I'll admit this or not. I'm saved. I've been called to preach. I believe at least every now and then I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And if they killed my fatted calf and didn't ask me, I'd get a little out of sorts myself. Bless your heart. And I got a pretty good feeling you would too. Killed his fatted calf, didn't even ask him about it in the first place. No wonder he got a little out of sorts. Look, right here it is. It says in the next verse, which is verse 28, he was angry and he would not go in. And his daddy had to come out and entreat him. He got mad. Y'all ever known a Baptist to get mad? Honestly, you say, that's not just to be facetious. I don't know I've ever met a Baptist who admitted he got mad. Here's the way we put it. I didn't get mad. I just got hurt. Real bad. And all the while, we could bite a rusty nail into her. Yeah, we got mad, all right. And this boy got mad as well. But I don't know we ought to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know we ought to get rid of a good worker just because he got a little out of temper every now and then when we do it ourselves pretty often. He got mad. There are two words in the New Testament, basically, that express anger. Let me just spend 2 or 3 minutes here. One word, spelled T-H-U-M-O-S. It's an anger that comes on real quick. last but a little while, and it is soon over. Now, it is not pleasant when it's angry. It's explosive, boom. But it doesn't last long, and they calm back down. Thumos. There is another word for anger, spelled O-R-G-E. This is the kind of anger. Boy, if I'd known you was going to listen this good, I'd have started with this verse. I'll tell you that. This is an anger that builds very slowly. It's not explosive. It just comes on a little at a time. Sort of like this. Something happens and you don't get all upset, but you go, that's one. Something happens two or three days. You might not even say it, but that's two. And when this anger finally blows, you mark her down. What'd you say? Heaven help us. Preacher, when they get mad, they stay mad. Yeah. Except they don't just stay mad. I hope you won't understand it. You've never been. They get even, too. Yeah. Revenge is the order of the day. Can I make an announcement? Both kinds are wrong. Yeah. Both kinds are sin. This boy had the second of the two kinds. God deliver us from anger, but just because you get angry, that don't mean you can't ever sing in the choir again. I don't know what kind of amen that was. Neither. I'm going to use my cherubim. You say, Preacher Bagwell, what do you mean? If we kicked everybody out of the choir that got angry last week, I don't even know if we'd have a solo Sunday morning. Preachers, listen up and rejoice in the Lord. Getting angry don't disqualify you from pastoring. Amen. Oh, I know we don't live in a state of anger. That's not a good thing. But thank God, if anger had disqualified you from the ministry, Jonah would have been in a lot of trouble. And many another preacher. He got mad, then watch this. He would not go in. Can't you see him now? Just shaking that head, petulantly stubborn. He will not go in. Now, I'm going to tell you what that's called. It'll be a new word to you. So, might want to make a note of it. It's called pouting. Yeah. Amen. Must be a Presbyterian word. Or Lutheran or Catholic or something. That word's as Baptist as it comes. Yeah. Amen. Last thing, I said, Lord, I thought somebody was coming to get me right there. Done made somebody mad. Pouting. We get our feelings hurt at church. A man of God preaches something gun barrel straight, or he preaches a little bit too long on one of his messages, and hear it. We get hurt over some silly little thing. I hear it now. They'll know it the next time I darken the door of that church. Somebody's going to have to come apologize to me or I'll never go here. Why in the world can't we grow up? Get over that silliness of heart and feeling. I know the boy's got some weaknesses. But I'm telling you, his good points are going to outweigh his bad points if we'll stick with him. None of us was without sin. Let's get busy, be faithful, stay in the field, serve God with all of our heart.
Amen, preacher. That's good preaching.
Well, we'll look at the next verse, see what happens then. Verse 29, is that where I am? Y'all don't know where I am any more than I do. I guarantee you if I'd have said 25, you'd have woke up, though. I think 29. And he, answering, said to his father. Now watch what the boy says. Lo, these many years, Daddy, these many years do I serve thee. Preacher, I've been guilty of taking that boy's words and belittling them and mocking them. I've been guilty of saying that's that crowd that counts everything they do for God. But it dawned on me. This older brother is not the one who wrote Luke 15. Y'all acting like you don't know who wrote it. I'll tell you. God the Holy Ghost wrote Luke 15. And God said, we're going to get in this text somewhere that this older brother has served his daddy many years. All right, imagine yourself in a church business meeting. We've all been in them. We are regularly. That they're going to, the church is going to buy another acre of land, paint the sanctuary, and it's time to vote. And the preacher will say something like this, and it's right. We'll say, if you're a member of this church in good standing, you've got to vote. You can exercise your right to. And then we'll usually say something like this. It don't matter if you're a charter member or if you've baptized Sunday night and you ain't been a member but 3 days. If you're here in good standing, your vote counts equally. And it does. And that's the way it ought to be. But I just want to make an observation. Practically speaking, there's a big difference between a man that's come to church and faithfully served 45 years and a man that's come and served faithfully, I better get an amen, 3 days.
Amen.
They both have a vote. Each vote counts equally, but in the eyes of God, there's something to be said about faithfulness over many years' time. Hallelujah. Why in the world in our churches can't we come to the place we recognize and we appreciate and we honor them senior saints who've been on the job, who stayed faithful and true decade after decade? I say hallelujah for them, glory to God. The boy had been working many years for his daddy. Do y'all see that? If you don't see it, I'm going to explain it again. Do you all see that? Next, watch. Verse 29. He said, Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Look what he said. He said, Daddy, I have never violated. Transgress means to step across the line. I have never gone beyond one of your orders, one of your commandments. And you read that, and I think, sure. Have you ever known a kid who never once disobeyed? But wait a minute. It's not that older brother who put that in there neither. It's God the Holy Ghost. Am I right? Who put that in there? And I'm painting myself into a corner here. I just want to ask a question. Raising your children. Some of you, your kids are grown or they're half grown or they're raising your youngins. Was there one child more easily corrected than another? Most families say yes, I think so. We raised one child, preacher. I could look at that child and point my finger or snap my finger. And that little old kid would melt. He could be wiggling in church or not. We raised one. I could have broke my thumb popping that thing. And it wouldn't have fazed that kid one bit. He needed stronger measures. You ain't get. He needed the lard beat out of him. And he got it a few times. This older brother happened to be the kind of young man that responded to his daddy's authority. He was not an ultra disobedient child. And he said, "Daddy, I've tried to do right. I've not transgressed your commandment." I don't know if you're going to amen this or not. You're getting quiet on me. Hallelujah for that kind of kid.
Amen, preacher.
You know what we do? I say we, lots of us. You let an old criminal get saved, and thank God they do get saved. Somebody that's blown away a person or two and robbed the bank and done dope and run liquor. He's a bootleg. Let him get saved, and God call him to preach. We'll put him in the pulpit, hand out handbills throughout the whole county saying, "Come here, an old ex-gangster got saved." And we'll pack the house absolutely wall to wall. And you let some little old teenager who's never been on the dance floor, never tasted a bit of booze, never has lived it, let him get saved and called to preach, put him in the pulpit, and 3 dozen people won't show up to hear him preach. I just want to make this observation. I think we got that one backwards myself. Hallelujah for the crowd that didn't get in sin, that didn't go out there and sow the wild oaks. God still got him a few, I'm going to need an amen, who have kept clean. Hallelujah. And this boy is one of them, and it's making me like him more and more as we get into this text. Are y'all all right? Let's get the next verse, though I don't know what it is. 30, I believe. Watch. But as soon, this is the boy talking to his daddy. As soon as our son, this younger boy, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou'st killed for him the fatted calf. Just well say, my fatted calf. You've killed for my brother. Watch very carefully. The older brother just told us something the text elsewhere does not tell us. We have just been informed that when this younger brother got out yonder in the world, he devoured his money, his daddy's money, but now he in it with harlots. He was immoral, he was ungodly, and he was low down. You say, how did that older brother know that? And I'm not privy to that information. See if you agree with this statement. I just want to see if you do. If a man's going to end up living with a bunch of harlots, that kind of spiritual condition does not come on all of a sudden.
Amen. That's right.
You don't live for God full of the Holy Ghost on Friday and go live with a bunch of harlots on Saturday. Now say amen right there. It don't happen that quick. I'll tell you how that older brother knew what his younger brother was going to do. The younger brother had been talking about it. The younger brother had been running his mouth for a pretty good while. These people lived in small homes. They likely shared a bedroom. And that younger brother said, when I get my money, I'm heading to the big city. And I'm going to live a wild and an ungodly life. He had bragged about what he was going to do. But can I make an announcement? And I hope I'll get an amen here. This older brother, and I don't know how to say it, he probably wouldn't know what a harlot looked like if he came across one face to face. Nod your head or smile.
Amen.
You know why? He'd never been around them. He didn't know nothing about them. He'd stayed pure, and he'd stayed holy, and he'd stayed clean. I'll take the clean crowd. I'll take the holy crowd. Even if they get mad every now and then, give me them over that worldly bunch any day of the week.
Amen, preacher.
The older brother did not devour his living with harlots. Let's get another verse, if you will. I think we're ready down here for the next to the last verse. Number 31. A watch. Daddy's going to speak. And he said to his boy, said to the older boy, "Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine." Are y'all still listening to me?
Amen.
Can y'all go two more verses with me?
Amen.
All we got is 31 and 32. And 31's not a longer. Daddy said, "Son, you are ever with me. You are ever." I don't know where that prodigal went. But the night he left home, went over yonder to the big city, I guess he went to the casino, probably to the richest motel he could find. I reckon he's a gambling away his daddy's inheritance.
Yeah.
All the while that boy's over there, hope I get an amen, he ain't at the Father's house no more.
Amen.
Can I make an announcement? The older boy never left the Father's house. The older boy hung around Daddy. The older boy ate supper with Daddy every night. The older boy told Daddy about the plowing that got done every day. He said, "Son," I'm going to need an amen, "thou art ever with me."
Amen.
Give me the crowd that knows how to fellowship with the Father. Amen. No matter what kind of attitude they might get every now and then, I'm a going with them. Thank you.
Amen.
You're ever with me. And all that I have is thine. I don't know how to say this. Surely somebody here will be in the same boat I'm in. I was raised poor. Growing up, preacher, in the Bagwells where I lived, we didn't have much. I remember wearing the school breeches that had patches all over them. Boy, I'm talking to the wrong crowd, I believe. I'll just tell you about it then, okay? Boy, I remember one year is the first of the year. And all my buddies up and down the street there, the road, when the street's a road, went two or three up this way or down there, they all had them new school clothes. Shirts and pants. And I remember crying before I got on the bus that morning. Daddy said, "What's wrong with you, son?" And I said, "Daddy, they all got their new clothes. And I got my breeches and same old patches on there last year." I'll never forget what Daddy told me. He said, "Son, we ain't got much. We're poor." But he said, "I'll tell you this, maybe somebody will amen it. The breeches you're wearing are clean."
Amen.
He said, "Mama works hard keeping our clothes clean. We're going to thank God for what we've got."
Amen.
And I wasn't given no choice. On the bus I went. Patches and all.
Amen.
Me and my Roy Rogers lunchbox. Say amen. I've had that thing a lot of years too. It's rusty in places. Well, for those of you who won't smile, the horse Trigger was on the thermos bottle. I'll just tell you about that. And off we went to school. Couldn't afford school lunches.
Right.
Took our lunch
every
day. But I want to make an announcement tonight. I don't know how you're going to receive this. I ain't poor no more.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Bagwell must have come into a landfall. He must have. No, sir. I got saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the King. And all that the Father has is mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Maybe I'll hang around the Father's house. I don't need the hog pens. I don't need the harlots of the world. I don't need the filth and the offscouring. Thank God it's all right to do right and holy. Last verse, 32. Daddy said it was meat. And the word there really means necessary. Said I had to do this. It was meat that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again. Look what he said. He said, Daddy said to the boy, son, said, many a night I wondered if your brother was dead. I wondered if he's laying out yonder somewhere, his heart no longer beating. Lungs, no, been dead many a time. He said, he's come back home, and I know that he's alive again. Hear me now, because I'm closing the message. He wondered if that younger boy is dead. He never had to wonder that about the older boy. He come home every night. He went to the same bedroom, lit the same lamp, slept in the same bed. He knew that older brother. He knew that older boy was alive and well and was, I'll need an amen, going to be on the job tomorrow morning.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. But there at the end, watch it. Not only was he dead and he's alive again, said he was lost. He was lost. And now he's found. In that day, they didn't have GPS or cell phones that you could locate a loved one. They didn't know where the boy was. From the time he left the house, he's lost. Till finally he's coming back up the road. Lost. No idea. But I'll just make this observation and be done. Hope I get a smile. That older brother was never lost.
Amen, preacher.
Any hour of the day they could say, Daddy, where's your older boy? He's out yonder in the field. He's applying the oxen. Daddy, where's your older boy? Well, it's about supper time. He's on the way in. He's in there in the barn. He's tying them up. Daddy, where's your older boy? Well, let me look. It's about sundown. I tell you where he is. He's back there getting ready for bed. Going to get him a good sun up. Where's your older boy? He's not lost, thank God. I tell you what he's doing. He's hitching up the mules. He's hitching up the oxen. He's fixing to go to work another day.
Amen.
The older boy was never lost. Daddy knew his whereabouts all the time. I got to close the message. Don't know how long I'll preach, somewhere probably around 45 minutes. But I'll tell you this. The more I learn about that, I won't be preaching the bad attitude sermon no more. I won't be tearing this kid to shreds any longer. The more I read about him and the more I study him, I don't know how y'all are telling, the better I like him, I think. And if I had to have a church full of older brothers or younger brothers through the worldly crowd of the crowd, they get a little cranky every now and then. They're liable to say something they probably didn't mean. But if they'll stay in the field, go out there early and stay out there late, plow and plant and reap and do what they're supposed to be doing, I think, I don't know, help me out if you're with me. I believe I'll just go with the older crowd. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God. Some of you probably about half mad at your preacher. Something he said yesterday or last week. You better get back to looking at the good things in that man of God's life. I guarantee you, somewhere in this building tonight, there's a husband and wife who had words on their way to church. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? Oh, I don't mean you had a fight. Just words. Of course, that's pretty close sometimes, ain't it? Been sitting here in this service about half mad at one another. Sir, I know you're not mad, the one that's hurt. You're the one I'm talking to. You might ought to start looking for the good points in that wife again.
Amen.
Whoever it is you don't like, if they're genuinely saved, and washed in the blood of the Lamb, one of these days they'll be strolling down a street of gold.
Amen.
Crowns on their head, perhaps, that they'll lay at Jesus' feet, living in a mansion God has personally constructed for them.
Amen.
And if God thinks that much of them, I don't know where y'all are going with this. If God thinks that much of them, I might ought to improve my idea of them.
Amen. Amen.
There's a lot of good in the people we often overlook.
Amen.
Could we bow our heads? May we close our eyes in a moment of prayer. And I'm almost at a loss to know how to give the invitation. I know I've used the verses the Lord wanted me to use. I don't have any doubt about that. But how do you respond to verses like this? And I don't know the answer to it. It might be that somebody here tonight, and you know good and well, you've got an ingrained habit of looking down at everybody. As though you're high and mighty, and as though you're Mr. Super Spiritual. Everybody else is below you. I just want to tell you something tonight, and I'm through preaching. I don't know how this come up in the invitation. You better get off that high horse you're riding. And you better come to the place to realize there's good in every brother and sister in Christ in your church. God help me to see the good in those around me. God help me to quit being so critical and so bitter and so negative and so gossipy, and help me to honor those who are trying to serve you, though they may slip. You know what? It might not be a bad idea for some of us to get in this altar tonight. I don't know if anybody will nod here or not, and deal with our anger and our wrath and that old vengeful spirit we get. Some of us might ought to get over our pouting a little bit tonight. And there'll never be a meeting at Burke County this week or any other camp meeting any other week till our hearts and our spirits are right with God, till we're pure and clean and holy in His eyes. Our musicians will play softly. Would you stand to your feet, quietly stand to your feet throughout the congregation.